I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Weekend real busy for Montana State Cat fans. The Bobcats are in the big dance, the NCAA tournament, second consecutive year, and they're facing Kansas State. We're going to go to Greensboro, North Carolina, and talk with Keaton Gilogley, the play-by-play announcer for Montana State. Keaton, I was kind of teasing with you on the phone here. It's St. Patty's Day. Are you wearing any green?
I am not. Honestly, when I packed for this trip, we left on, Wednesday? Didn't even cross my mind that it was going to be St. Patrick's Day today. So, yeah, nothing but blue and gold in the wardrobe on this trip for me. And I do have two sport coats and two ties, but neither of them are green.
Well, you better find a pin or something. Of course, you're in Greensboro, North Carolina, so I think that counts, right?
I see green grass. Does that count?
It does. Yeah, yeah. how do the Cats make this one count tonight?
You know, playing their game, it's going to be an interesting matchup. There is definitely a different energy this year compared to last year. Now, obviously, I was not here last year, but just talking to the coaches and to the players and a lot of the admin and the staff that are around, you know, everybody's just kind of got a different vibe, a different energy. You know, when you think back, and Coach Sprinkle made this point in the presser yesterday, when you think back to last year, you know, Montana State finish on a Sunday in the Big Sky tournament and then turned around and, you know, flew out to get to the NCAA tournament and then played first thing Thursday morning. So that was a really, really quick turnaround. And it was a game on that Thursday morning. It was like one of the very first of the first round. The arena wasn't really filled up yet. There really wasn't that kind of March Madness energy built up yet. And, you know, they got waxed. It was not the showing they wanted to put out. This year is a drastically different schedule. You know, they obviously had the late tips in the Big Sky tournament in Boise, but, you know, they played last Wednesday, so it's been over a week since their last game. They had the opportunity to, you know, get off their feet a little bit after a couple of those rock fights in the Big Sky tournament, and were able to get out here on Wednesday. They go through their practices yesterday. They've got another practice coming up here in about an hour, and, you know, they'll be able to just kind of chill, and it's going to be one of the last games of the first round this time. It's going to be following up the Kentucky Providence game at the Greensboro Coliseum out here in North Carolina. So there's definitely going to be a lot of Kentucky fans that are going to continue to sit around. And, you know, if Montana State can stay in this game, if they can keep it close by halftime and they can put a little pressure on, the longer they hang in, the more this game is going to feel like a home game, because there's a lot of Montana State fans that have made the trip out. And, you know, when you get to this tournament, when you get that lower seed that kind of sticks around, the crowd that is there that is not with the higher seed usually starts to cheer for the underdog. So if you can kind of keep it close-ish for a while and you can put that scoreboard pressure on Kansas State, you know, you can start to make it feel like a little bit of a home game. And this is your best shot against the Big 12 team, because I guarantee none of those Big 12 teams are coming up to Bozeman to play at the Brick. So This is your best opportunity to get a crowd behind you while you're playing one of the better teams of the country.
And would you say, a little more parity in college basketball than perhaps there was just even a few years ago?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know that it's parity. Mm-hmm. It may be the transfer portal with all the movement, the personnel movement. So you see these different programs kind of pop up. Like Kansas State last year was a team that really struggled in the Big 12. They were, you know, ninth place out of 10. They went 6-12. They picked up a new head coach this year, Jerome Tang, who came over from Baylor and was a part of their national championship staff 2 years ago. They were picked 10th. They were picked last place in the preseason poll. Wow. But with a new head coach, with a number of new transfers, only two returning players this year, you know, they go on a run. And they're now a number three seed, and they've had a tremendous year with a lot of new faces out there in Manhattan, Kansas. So, Yeah, I think, I mean, you can probably classify that as parity, but I think when you really look at it, it's just when you see all the different personnel movement and all these programs being built up through transfers and finding new environments and new situations, I think that's part of the reason we see all these new and different teams kind of crop up here and there.
Keaton Galugli is with us. Galugli, pardon me, with Montana State Bobcat basketball, the play-by-play announcer, NCAA tournament matchup, Kansas State tonight. Let's talk about the maturation of the Bobcat team this year, Keaton.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. You know, Raekwon Battle is kind of the first guy that comes to mind for me. You know, he didn't like his situation at the University of Washington, didn't feel like he had the resources to really, you know, be his best self and really come out. And, you know, he got here and, you know, he butted heads with Coach Sprinkle plenty of times. And, you know, Sprinkle is very, very honest. And that was honestly one of the things that Raekwon Battle talked about as why he came to Montana State, among some other reasons. But it was really the honesty that Coach Sprinkle brought to the table in that recruiting process from the forefront. And he tells his guys, I'm going to coach you hard. And, you know, some guys say they want that, but not everybody does. And, you know, when Sprinkle coaches these guys as hard as he does, the one thing that is different now with this generation of player and this era of coaching is you can coach guys hard, but if you're doing that as a coach, you have to allow your players to come back at you just as hard. So there's a give and take there where even though Coach Sprinkle will ride these guys in a very, you know, disciplined way, you know, he does allow his players to talk back to him in a positive way. You know, you see these guys get into shouting matches, the coaches and the players, and it's constructive because they allow each other to let that passion come through, let that emotion come through. They go back and forth, and then once it's settled, it's dropped and they're on to the next thing. So, you know, I think that's kind of one of the nuances, right? Like when you think back to your floor general type coaches back in the day, you know, your Bobby Knights, even your Tom Izzos that are still out there right now, you know, those guys coach so hard, and today's player has a little more control. You know, they have a little bit more control over their well-being and what they're doing, and they're a little more courageous to speak up. And the coaches that are going to survive, if they're going to continue to coach that way, you know, they have to allow these players to have a voice, and they do. And as a result, now we're in a place where this is really a player-led team. You know, and that's just a story about Raekwon Battle, but you can tell that story about a number of guys on this team, including Jabril Bello. And Coach Sprinkle has talked about this time and again. When there's a mistake, more times than not, it's Bello or Darius Brown, who's a first-year guy, or Raekwon Battle, or great Osabor, who's only a sophomore, who's stepping up and saying, hey, here's where you messed up, here's where we fix it, let's go run it again. And Sprinkle doesn't have to say something. You know, the alley-oop dunk to end the Weber State double overtime game of the semifinals, that was a play that Raekwon Battle stepped up in the huddle and said, hey, if Jabril clips his guy, he sets that back screen, I'm going to be wide open because they're so focused on the ball when Darius tries to get in the post. Sure enough, Bello sets the game-winning screen, Raekwon Battle's wide open, and they get that clean, easy dunk, and it's a highlight that everybody will remember in Bobcat lore. And so it's those types of things, I think, that have really stood out, and it's those types of player ownership that really carry you deep into March, which we're deep into March now, and Montana State is in a place where they're going to be able to put their best foot forward. Are they going to upset Kansas State? I don't know. The line is pretty close. The line's at about 7.5 right now.
Yeah.
People are really putting some money on Montana State. But bottom line, Montana State is just in a mental and physical place because guys are a little more healthy now than they were last year to just put their best foot forward and put on a good showing and show the world what Montana State basketball truly is.
You know, and I think it's probably the same for a lot of these Division One or college basketball programs because of the transfer protocol. When you get new players in, a lot of these teams, I think you mentioned it for Kansas State. I think I saw it happen with Montana State. It takes a little while to mesh and play that very, very high level of basketball. But I think we've seen that in the last month here for Montana State.
I think so. You know, Darius Brown and Robert Ford, the two point guard transfers. Brown came over from Cal State Northridge. He's a Pasadena kid. Robert Ford's a kid from Portland who played some community college, transferred from Idaho State, so within the Big Sky. And both those guys were hurt last year. So, you know, they combined played something like 8 or 9 games between the two of them at their two separate schools. So first and foremost, it took them a little while to kind of get their feet back under them after having some lower body injuries and some surgery. And then it took a little while to kind of get assimilated to the culture and the program and the way they run things. And both those guys, though, came because they wanted to be a part of a winning program. And as much as we, you know, malign the transfer portal for very good reasons, because there are a lot of issues and there are a lot of, you know, failure stories in the transfer portal, the success stories are when you can get those character guys, when you can get a Brown and a Ford to transfer here, not because they didn't like their playing time, because they were getting plenty of playing time, but because they wanted to win. And the same thing goes for Caleb Fuller, who's in his only year here transferring from UC Davis. He's another guy who came because he wanted to win. He hadn't won a title. He hadn't been to an NCAA tournament. Now he is. And when you bring in those types of character guys, that's the type of thing that can carry you through. And Sprinkle knew it was going to take a minute to get things going. Because also, don't forget, Jabril Bello had offseason surgery on his knee last year. I mean, he was hobbled by the time they got to the NCAA tournament last season. He was probably 50% of himself. So here's a guy who's now healthy. He's ready to go. He feels like he's in a place to deliver his best shot. And they played an absolute gauntlet in the non-conference. Two Big 12 teams, another couple NCAA tournament teams. And even though they lost all three of those games in Montreal over a three-day period right after Thanksgiving, that was the week that things came together. Yes, they lost those three games, but they played three teams that played three different styles that were all three different like sizes. And Montana State lost all three of those games in three different ways. And it really exposed some things. And sometimes you need a loss to be able to coach your guys up. And they continued that trip. We flew from Montreal to Vegas. We went from Vegas up to Southern Utah to finish up this eight-day trip. And Jabril Bello gets that terrible flagrant call against him. He gets ejected in that game. But that was the first time Darius Brown stepped up and started knocking down his shots, which Sprinkle knew he could do. He just needed to kind of get it out of him. Raekwon Battle makes the defensive play of the game to seal a win in what was an absolutely raucous environment that night. And that was the moment. That was the time. That was the first post-game interview where Coach Sprinkle said, hey, we've got that championship DNA. That was the fire that kind of forged that championship DNA. And although it's been a little up and down at times since then, I mean, they really have just continued to climb. And one of the things that has stood out to me in my first year being as close to the program as I am is just watching the individuals get better. There's just so many different individuals on this team that have taken a slow stride. There is no shortcut to the top of a mountain, and they have each taken their steps in stride time and again, and everybody has gotten better over the course of the year. And that's where you see the impact of a great coach like Danny Sprinkle, and that's why Montana State is just feeling good. They're excited to just go test themselves against one of the best teams in the country in the best tournament in the land.
Learfield play-by-play announcer Keaton Gillogley for Montana State University. And Keaton, you do a great job on the radio. Really appreciate it. Really enjoy listening to you as well. I'm going to run out of time here, so just give us a sense of the atmosphere there, because people who are involved in sports maybe take for granted the difference between the regular season and how special and important and impactful it is to be in the Big Dance.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your kind words. It's been a lot of fun. I've been doing this a long time, and settling into a place like this at a time like this is something that's not lost on me. And it's been great getting to know Bobcat fans, Bobcat Nation through just all the different events and radio shows and all that stuff. So that part's been great. The atmosphere, you know, the NCAA tournament is funny. To be perfectly frank, it feels very corporate when you get to the NCAA tournament. Right. You get all these extra rules and these different guidelines and, you know, different protocols and all that sort of thing. And, you know, it is what it is. And that's what happens when you're, you know, in a part of this machine that is the NCAA tournament, which is, you know, one of the biggest premier stages for basketball in the world. So first and foremost, it does feel a little bit corporate. But when you talk about the environment of the coaches and the players and the fans, you know, the players are locked in right now. And if they weren't, I just wouldn't say that. But they're locked in. They're comfortable. They're talking. Everybody looks relatively healthy for the month of March at this time. So coaches, you can see a little extra just edge, you know, this focus. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be fun. But for the fans that are here, the administration that is here, people who have made the trip, there is kind of a celebratory vibe. There is a little bit of a party vibe, and that's not because it's March 17th, but because they're excited. They've got a great team. They've got a great coach that they can really get behind.
Game
just so excited to be here and get these guys out on the floor coming up tonight.